This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row, the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Some people see the world in black and white, and with a clear dividing line between the two, as though the twain will never meet. Some see various shades of grey, perhaps 50 shades, and in between, the white, not all snow white, the black, not all soot black. Artist Ivan Lam, who has been here before, is exploring dualities, our impulses to divide things into up, down, good, bad, black, white, kind, unkind. He is holding a solo exhibition at Weyling Contemporary on the 6th floor of the Gardens Mall. Welcome, Ivan.
Hi, welcome, Sydney.
Before we jump into the exhibition, prompted by the title of this exhibition, Vanity Project X, as an artist and a Malaysian contemporary artist, that where do you think Malaysian contemporary artists in the context of Asian art?
I think it's a very ambiguous state that we are in. There's pockets of activities and movement that showcase our art in an Asian context, but then there are also a lot of non-activities that doesn't showcase any of these. It's in a very flip-flop state that you could say that we have made progress, but we also have regressed. It's not a steady upcline. I think the battle is still ongoing. I think to be in the forefront needs a lot more work.
I mean, some would say that of all our creative arts, the visual arts is probably upfront in terms of generating income for the country, contributing to the GDP. But in terms of its ideas, where are we? You say it's kind of a flip-flop, but if at the very front we have all these engaging artists, artists who are more aware of where they are and of the times they are in, what are we seeing?
We would put that in context, what you mentioned, if they know where they are, where they're placed. I think we are at the very forefront. When we talk about craft ideas, right, we are good, you know, we have the skill. It's just that in the position that we are not well positioned compared to the Philippines, Indonesians.
And why is that?
It baffles me for the last 10 years doing it.
I mean, we have galleries. If I'm not mistaken, there are more visual artists now than we've ever been in our history. There are lots of galleries, small ones, big ones. There are art exhibitions almost all the time. Every weekend, there's at least an art opening.
Yes, right.
So there is this growth.
There is. I think so. We do not want to confuse between quality and quantity. Having more doesn't mean it's better. But I think it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of concerted effort, right, to really push past local. We don't want to be only centralised in where we're good at, which is in Malaysia or in KL or in Penang, you know, these couple of big towns. But how do we see ourselves outside of that very comfort zone that we're in? There's tons of things that's happening in the world right now. And we could position ourselves in those pockets.
To some extent, what you're saying, it's the commercial side of things that needs to be taken care of, not by the artist, I assume. Because to be outside of Malaysia and have your work being looked at and talked about and being sold, you need somebody who has that commercial sense and that kind of savviness to take works overseas.
Correct. And also the drive. I think commercial only takes it so far. I think it's making that connection, networking, getting yourself out there. Not so much of selling the work. Some of these works are not even for sale when you're having an exhibition outside of the country. But more so, how do you make that relevant to what you do?
I was just reading The Economist before you came in, and it said that, you know, before World War I and World War II, French artists were the avant-garde. And then the 1990s belonged to China and Chinese. And now it's Africa.
Oh, yeah.
When is it going to be for us here? The question also has to do with what are the criteria these people are using to say France was at the forefront before the war, then the Chinese in the 1990s, now this is Africa. What are people looking at to say this is it? Or are these all driven by market forces?
To an extent, yes. You have to look at it in a much bigger picture. We need a star system and a full ecosystem for it to really work. Writers, curators, artists, art market, you know, all this must be in place. that it's solid, you know, a huge good foundation to be on. And then when people come over and have a look at it, we have all this in place. So there's no longer picking. Everything is already built. So it's easy for them to access it.
Where are our gaps?
I think the quality. We need more quality writers, quality curators, people that are from outside looking in, and also from artists going out. So we need that to have that exchange, that constant exchange of things.
But to some extent, I assume these kinds of things cannot be forced. You cannot force somebody to say, I want you to become a curator. It's like trying to force somebody to become an artist. Countries build their universities based on the country's needs. We have industries that need engineers, so we crank out engineers. Somehow we can do that. We need IT professionals. We can somehow do that also. But we cannot say we need artists. Now let's go cranking about. Why is that?
But we can have quality artists. I believe that we could be better. I think artists could be better. There's a certain quality to it that we could drive. Like if you're good at this, try to be better at something else. If you're not good at talking, improve your speech, improve your marketing point, improve your PowerPoint, improve yourself. If the gallery is only looking inward, try to get it to look outward. You know, go for fairs, go for Biennale, go and look what's happening outside, and then bring back the experience in. I think there's so much things that everyone can do to make the industry much better.
How much communication is flowing between artists in our country? For instance, for yourself, you know, you exhibit quite a bit overseas. Therefore, I assume then your engagement is with artists overseas. I assume you have some over here. But overall, what do you think the scene is like in terms of this communication?
I think there is communication, but I'm generalizing here. For myself, there are artists that I keep in contact with. We write emails, and in that point, right, it makes it a bit more easier to keep the momentum going. Just to touch base, you know, write a couple of letters every day and see what comes back. You always got to cast your net, so-called, slightly further, but it's that casting. First couple of years, it's difficult. Nothing comes back. There's no fishes. But as you build that momentum, it becomes easier. So it's become a habit, a positive habit that people can cultivate. So you get this exchange going on.
And in this exchange, what do you talk about? Talk about what you're doing?
Yeah, what we're doing, what's happening, what's relevant to the world today, what are people looking at? Not so much of what trends or what people think sells are. I think more so about what they believe in and how they respond to the world that they live in.
From that angle, what are the events in the world that impinge upon you? What shakes you? What upsets you? What gnaws at you?
I think that brings us back to the show. I think there's a lot of issues in every single painting that I try to address. I've always been looking inward. So this show really looks outside. A lot of issues, Boko Haram we're talking about, plastic surgeries. All these issues that has one way or another come into my life, but I've never addressed it. So this is a perfect chance for me to look outside of myself and see, like, how do I interpret all these events that are real, that might not be relevant only to Korea, but, you know, the world in general and Malaysia in general.
You have works also that deal with us here, right?
Yeah, I do.
I'm speaking with Ivan Lam, the artist who's holding a solo exhibition at Wailing Contemporary. Interestingly, titled Vanity Project X, is an exhibition of 9 new works. Coming up, we'll leap into those paintings and get Ivan to talk about what new practices he has incorporated and what personal boundaries he opened. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with contemporary artist Ivan Lam, who is exhibiting at Wailing Contemporary till June 12th. Now, this exhibition is titled Vanity Project X. So that gives us one way of, even without looking at the works, one way of accessing. So it's a vanity project. What is that supposed to suggest, Ivan? Yeah. Ivan the Vain Artist?
Yeah. I think it's play on words, you know. It's a working title that I just put it on. You know, I looked back at my sketchbook a year ago and I had this word on it. It's basically something that I always want to do, not knowing or not caring about what other people think, right? Then I realized that, oh, isn't that all my art has always been about? Then yes. So when it comes to closer to the date, right, and I have to give a title for the show, so I say, why not, you know, just keep at it. And in short form, it VPX. It sounds like some sarin gas. So it just sounds very scientific. So I said, you know, why not? Just go with it. You know, sometimes the things that you talk about first has always been the best. You know?
And in these works, these nine works, everyone is split up into two.
Correct.
So this whole notion of duality.
Yeah.
With that word duality, for me, a very frustrating word, because one impulse wants me to kind of step away, say, look, we have broken down everything into two. Right, wrong, good, bad. And in some ways, it's this kind of duality that has created problems for us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, without this duality, it makes it very difficult to organize our lives.
That's right.
Right, left.
Yeah.
Tell me, drive down the road and say, should I drive right or left or in between? How do you see the word?
I have never consciously thought of it, like throughout. When I look back 20 years of making art, right? My art, and that seems to be a constant theme throughout. So this one is deliberately zeroing out on that, putting two top and bottom. We could be very separate issues, but they all exist within the same frame. So whether they work or they don't, they exist together, kind of like what you say, right? You can't have one without the other, and it will be chaos, or you need order to have chaos. You know? So it's that the whole back and forth.
How does this duality play into this notion, which I'm now picking up from your curator, pointing to being a Malaysian in a post-colonial Malaysia? This is also part of your search for a kind of cultural identity. When you have this duality, how are your works therefore a manifestation of your search for your cultural identity?
It's a very interesting question. I've always grappled with this issue about where I'm from, who I am, and where I'm going, right? And this whole culture. I think in the world that we live in now, a lot of barriers has been broken now. I think the internet kind of helped that a lot, just the advent of smartphones and all. At the same time, barriers are also being built. So you break down some, you have a bit more. And the times that we live in now, it's even more so. It's really strange times that we live in. On one hand, you talk about equality. And on one hand, you talk about duality, right? So where is that whole balance? I lose it all the time. There are days clear, there are days that are not so clear. It's always that fight to look for that balance. You know you can't keep it. You know it's going to be fleeting. But yet, the drive, the purpose of life is to find that balance, only to lose it again.
How do you see yourself? Are you a Chinese-Malaysian or you're a Malaysian-Chinese? That, for me, is a term, for me, should be contested, because in Malaysia, we tend to think ourselves as Malaysian Chinese.
Yes.
For me, I am a Chinese Malaysian, simply because part of my thinking is that the adjective comes before the noun.
Okay.
So therefore, Chinese Malaysian means I am a Malaysian of Chinese descent,
yeah,
as opposed to Malaysian Chinese, as though I'm a Malaysian or I'm a Chinese of Malaysian descent.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
So, as an artist, how do you grapple with this kind of things?
I don't.
You don't?
When it comes to races and countries of origin, right, I really don't.
I think we don't, not on a daily basis, but I think in some ways, because we've grown up in this particular way, it informs us. And I sometimes wonder, as an artist, because you don't ask yourself those kinds of questions, if somebody were to pose this question to you, if you were a Chinese Malaysian, you're a part of the minority, right?
No, I am, yes.
Yeah, you're a part of the minority. Yeah. If you were part of the majority, if you were a Malay Muslim Malaysian, how would you paint? I mean, would that question force you into looking at things differently?
Yeah, I'm sure. The upbringing, the religion aspect of it, definitely. But as we progress past that, I think, once you have taken on all those things, right, I think the true calling would somewhat be apparent in your art. And it's that true calling that makes up who you are and where you're from and where you're going. And I think that would be very apparent on your art. If people use art as a vehicle to solve or to bring up those issues, right, I think that would be a great, great piece. But everyone has different issues that they want to grasp, they want to tackle, they want to solve, they want to resolve, right? So that makes it very interesting. Everyone has their own take on what they want to focus their life with.
Which leads me to question about this process for this particular exhibition. You have a curator who doesn't live here.
Yeah.
Somebody who is a German, and on top of that, an academic in art history, Dr. Hani Geiger. How did you go about collaborating on this project?
Yeah.
Because I understand mostly with curators, after you've done all your paintings, they come and say, okay, well, pick this, and they try to see some kind of a pattern, narrative. And then they write about it, and then whatever. But this process was quite different.
It is. For the offset, right, normally what creators do, like what you mentioned, they would come in the beginning, and then they would come in the end, and then they would create the show and write an essay about it. So I want to flip that a bit and say, like, why don't we do it together? Every single work, you come and tell me what you think. So that will inform the next work. And we made a contract to ourselves that every end of the month, you get something and then I get something back from you. I think the first 3 months was pretty tedious about that whole workshop. And then so I think that the cultural thing has a huge play, which I thought would be quite apparent. But what was nice about it or surprising about it was those issues were so worldly, I think, global issues. And there's no issues at all. I mean, she understands totally what I'm grappling at. And she was kind of enjoying that, you know, when I look east and I look west. And it's all relevant. And she gets to see it. So I think that the world has that power upon us that, you know, we share very things that are very
the borders
similar.
Have literally melted.
Yeah. So that was a surprise. I think that was a good thing about it, too, that no qualms. I don't understand this part. I don't live it. But she does. She actually remembered it. What's happening with our haze. Our haze issue is one of the paintings that come up, right? So she does. So maybe we are making world news now that it's apparent all over the world now.
You did a painting, completed it, and then you sent her a picture. Yep. And based on that, you both had a discussion.
Yeah, back and forth, couple. You know.
Based on that discussion, then you leapt into your second painting.
Correct.
This is a continuing progress until you finish all 9 of them.
Yeah.
Looking back at the first one and through to the last one, what do you see change? Or what do you see come to fruition?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what I set up to be. So when it comes to the end of the painting, it's doing something that's so different from the first one. It would be weird or it would be more surprising if the first painting looks exactly like the last painting. So that means the process didn't happen. Basically, you just do what you wanted to do all along. But when you surrender yourself, your ego, and everything that you know so well to the process of this, to believe that this would take you to another place you haven't been before, I think the last painting, right, definitely shows that. I think you can see it visually that, you know, it's done by somebody else. I get to step out of my body and say, wow, this is cool. This is something that I've never thought I would do it on my own.
What did you have to do to surrender so that this can happen? Because I don't think it's like I flip a switch. You know?
No. I think so happened to my this part of my career that I keep saying that I'm a trash show. I think this body of work, right, make me get past my threshold that I am at the point that I'm doing something else. I have to give up what I know. It's like I've been holding these things so preciously in my hand for the 20 years, and now I could put it in my bag, in my knapsack, and go like, oh, my hands are free now. Now I could take on other things now.
But in these works too, you stepped outside of your traditional techniques.
Yeah.
One of which is like using pencils and
mapping
things up, which is something you hadn't done before.
No.
And on top of that, you you poured honey on canvas.
Yeah.
Left it outside.
Yeah. I invited thousands of artists to help me make my work. You know, so surrendering the ego, trust that the material would bring you somewhere else. The material will work on its own. And then honey is the only thing that when you burn it, it caramelizes and it creates this really nice golden texture, which paint couldn't give. So there's a lot of things that when you study the material, you kind of know that it will bring you through, but you haven't worked on it and you only have 1 month. So there's a lot of experimenting going on. A lot of failures and a lot of heartbreak.
So for instance, with this honey one, which you left outside, did you just do one? Or did you do several before you said, this is what I want?
Oh, every new material, there are smaller works I've made. I made like tons of, at least every painting, every huge painting, there'll be 2 or 3 small boxes. And I would test it on those first and see what's the outcome. But there's only so much you can test. Eventually, you have to do the big one. And I think the problems and the things were just exponentially times 10 or times 5, right? And you got to deal with it.
I'm going back to the honey one simply because you don't really have that much control.
No.
Because you cannot say, okay, insects today, do your work.
Yep. No. What is going to come? When are they going to come? So it's really challenging to only go back to the studio every day and not do anything and just record the time, the date, the humidity, you know, what's the weather like, you know, and see whether there's a general pattern form and how much honey you're going to put, what type of honey you put, right? So there's a lot of research that goes by not doing your work. It sounds like it's taking a back seat, but, you know, actually you're still driving it, but you're driving it from a distance. Then.
How much fear goes into doing something like this when you don't have control? My understanding of art is not the natural world. That's just natural beauty. Mm. And then when you say God designed and God painted, art by definition is the imposition of human will on whatever is in nature. But to do this thing with honey and then letting it go, were you afraid?
No, surrendering, we mentioned about that, and it's a really difficult thing to do. Because as artists, we want to have full control of how the painting turns out, what's the size. You know, from the beginning, we map everything out, right? And then there comes a point that you have no control over this material. You haven't worked with it, you know. So how do you grapple it? Obviously, fear comes to the picture. But I always believe you can overcome your fear by facing it head on and by putting your faith into things that you have known you had done before and trust that whatever happens, right, you could work with it. You could overcome. It's malleable. You could somewhat make it work.
Now that you've done these 9 pieces, they're all hanging to be viewed. And just now you said that I've done this and they're all behind me. You said you've reached your threshold and it's... So is this a kind of a farewell? Because in one of your interviews, this word slipped out somehow. That says this is like goodbye. Are you saying goodbye to art, the way you understand it now, or what?
I think it's a goodbye, it's a good farewell to the art that have given me so much. I want to do something else now that might not be primarily just paintings, you know, things that are off the wall. I want to incorporate performance, sound, things that I'm no good at. I have no clue what I'm doing. Dance, you know, things that I felt that they give another dimension to create a human experience, which sometimes painting couldn't do. So this opening this material and diving yourself and opening up your weaknesses and all for the whole world to see, that gave me the courage that you can teach an old dog new tricks. That I'm not too old to learn, to be a novice, to make mistakes all over again. And I don't want to stay constant at where I am. I want to fall down. I want to know to get up again.
So the next permutation of Ivan Lam could be Ivan Lam, the performance artist.
I could be. Could be sound. I'm so looking forward to doing new things now.
You have, at this stage, not planned your next project yet?
No, but I could see it vaguely. I am so visual that I need something to latch on to. But after this, I don't need to. We could just go like, okay, we need these couple of things. We could put this together and see how this works. And, you know, just throw it in the bag. Shake it up and see what falls down, and it could be beautiful, it could not be, you know. But that surrendering to that process, I think, is important.
But you have something roughly mapped out.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that.
Yes, I am myself too.
Ivan Lam, Vanity Project X is an exhibition of 9 works at the Wayland Contemporary in the Gardens Mall. The exhibition is now open and will run till June 12th. Admission, of course, is free. You've been listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. Thank you very much, Ivan.
Thank you, Soon Heng.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.